This is Jacinta Parsons on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
We're pretty in love with trees here, I have to say, on this program on the afternoon show. But that love can go deeper. And when we live in the urban world that we do, which is what this book addresses, we have in some ways lost that connection, that deep knowing of these trees that travel through time. And they're slowly moving through that time. And it's a beautiful meditation from Janine Burke, who joins us, author of My Forests, Travels with Trees. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Jacinta and Emma.
Oh, so lovely.
Two amazing women to talk to.
I know. We were just hearing about Emma's favourite tree and so enamoured and in love with this tree that she has named her beautiful daughter after it.
Oh, excellent.
Yep, named my daughter after the southern Morara tree up around mid-north coast of New South Wales.
Great. Yeah. Why was it for you an important tree?
I think for me because a lot of them trees, they're significant around Valla, around the Nambucca Valley. They're there. They're old. There's not many of them. And I wanted my daughter to identify or, you know, have something back home, like which is my mother's country, Goombanga country, as the same as my other daughter. I wanted her to have something where she can go home and go, this is my place, or that's where, you know, in a lot of older Aboriginal kinship too, you know, we're related to, you know, birds and animals, trees, you know, wind, everything. So, that was important for me. And that's a big honour, you know, naming my daughter. So it was the biggest honour.
That's great.
It's a kind of the connection that you talk about in this book. I love, and this is ridiculous, but your opening sentence, once upon a time we lived in trees. It's such a beautiful statement and it is so much, isn't it? It is about this deep, important connection that the human has with trees.
Yes, once upon a time we lived in trees and it's actually called arboreality, which is such a lovely word because it just means like tree reality, which everything was for us in those days. But look, the trees have taught me a great deal. The trees in my neighbourhood in Elwood taught me a lot. And, of course, they taught me about the Indigenous location that I was living in, and I'm very honoured to live and work on the land of the Yalakut Willem people. And I became more and more aware of that land as their land and that I was on that land and the trees that were on that land were native to that part. And so I just started to slowly, as these things happen, like really, really slowly, I began to learn about, you know, what are the stories? What are the stories about people? You know, the Yalakut Willem are the people, river people. That's what it actually means. And there's a wonderful tree that's the Ngagi tree, which stands near St Kilda Junction, which people can go and see very easily. And it's about 300 to 500 years old.
Yeah.
And so it was there when, you know, Michelangelo had just finished painting the Sistine Ceiling. I mean, it's been, and it's growing and it's healthy and it's vigorous and it's powerful and it's a venerable being. I mean, you feel when you can sit there because the local council has sort of landscaped that area a little bit and there's little wooden stools and things to sit on. You really feel you're in the presence, of an amazing being. And for the Yalakut Willem, it was their corroboree tree. It was where they met and danced and sang and ate and, you know.
It's so beautiful hearing them stories and yarns. And the more I live in Victoria and, you know, get a feel for this country, I keep talking about Castlemaine, you know, my connection and how I feel when I'm out that way. I love that place. The other week I was out there and there was one old fella, Uncle Rick, his old Jaja Warang man, and he showed us his grandmother tree. One that they were talking about, you know, for the community, for mob to get some stuff, you know, around this place. But, you know, same thing, like, you know, there's some of these trees are birthing trees or, you know, they're significant for a lot of Aboriginal mob. I love hearing these stories.
And I think what you're teaching us is about how sacred the trees are and that this is a part of an incredibly long engagement with Indigenous people with the land. There's so much about the land that we're learning now, and I think that people are thankfully beginning to be, you know, less sort of oh, we're the colonialists, we're here, we know everything, and say, well, we don't, we're ignorant, and we need to learn from Indigenous people.
I think that's the biggest thing that brings me back to Melbourne, and I always say it, is the acknowledgement that, you know, mob that don't come from, like, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Island background that do respect and, you know, have that acknowledgement for mob here. I really feel that in Melbourne out of all the, you know, a lot of, mm-hmm. lot of cities, there's something here about,
I think there's an increasingly strong sense of Aboriginal cultural presence, and we're all grateful for that. You know, we're all learning from that.
And learning that we all have a right and a responsibility to connect with our natural world. And that's been the interesting part of this investigation for you, because you had done writing about nests. Mm. And that's also, I find that so beautiful, that those little worlds that you investigated, but then going into the trees that those nests obviously inhabit. How did it change you writing this and going back into that deep time and space that you had to with trees?
Well, I think I wrote the book in tree time because it took 7 years. Nice, slow tree time. Don't rush, say the trees.
Oh.
And I'm an art historian, so I began looking at trees through that prism and learning a lot about how the trees were represented in this country in the 19th century. And, of course, you know, there was just so much tree felling. It was as though the colonies just couldn't bear the sight of a tree.
Because they were messy.
They were messy and they were scraggy and ugly, according to them. And so there's this sort of like pillage, you know, the trees are just destroyed, like thousands of them. And so the tree stump of the eucalypt, that became a major pictorial image in 19th century art, you know. There it was. It was everywhere. Mm. And there's a wonderful and very moving photograph of a little girl called Maggie Stone, which is taken in the 1850s, and she's sitting on an arrangement of felled timber. She's dressed to look like a dryad, you know, a feminine evocation of place. So she's this little girl and she's got this really troubled look on her face. The more you look at it and look into her eyes, you can see how upset she is. So it's a really complex image about, an Indigenous child who's been sort of organised to sit in this particular way. What she's sitting on, she's sitting on felled tree stumps, which really represent, for a lot of Aboriginal people, themselves, because they were the ones who were being cleared, you know, like the trees were being cleared. So there's very kind of clear cultural connections between what was happening to trees and what was happening to Indigenous people.
Emma, is that something you've reflected on as well in terms of that relationship?
Yeah, we just actually, there was a song that we didn't have on the last album, but kind of we're going to release it really soon as well, hopefully soon. I sing about a song called the Murubai Tree, which is the fig tree, and that's a messenger tree for Goombanga people. But there's stories around that about, you know, like our dreaming story and like how Goombanga people came to be saltwater people. And so there's, this tree or this fig tree is like a big part of our story, like storytelling and connection. So, just hearing you paint that picture about that young girl and sitting on them trees, I get a little bit sad, you know, when I'm hearing stories like that. But, how important it is for me to continue writing songs, you know, about our dreaming stories and, you know, especially like, you know, a story like the Murubai Tree, which is definitely, a message there.
Mm. We've got Emma Donovan, beautiful, joining us this afternoon with Janine Burke, who has put together, it's a stunning book. It's called My Forest Travels with Trees. And I've, you know, mentioned it a few times, but you do take us back in time it's such a beautiful way to discover the length of us, isn't it, through the life of trees.
Exactly, that's right. And, fortunately, many of them are still around us. You know, we can actually just see them there in front of our eyes, and it's like looking at history, you know, and they're there to teach us, you know, they're there to wait and teach us. And it was fascinating, too, to look at some activism, people who were, you know, trying to protect forests. And there's an amazing young woman, Miranda Gibson, who went up a hugely tall eucalypt in southern Tasmania about 5 or 6 years ago. And she stayed up there for more than 12 months in the tree, never leaving the tree, to protest the logging that was about to start. And it's really fascinating when I talked to her, you know, I said, what was it like when you came down out of the tree, you know, after all that time? And she said, well, I thought it was going to be great. And I thought, oh, I'd want a hot bath and I want this and I want that. And she said, I wanted to be back in the tree.
Yeah.
And her friends were saying, it sounds like you fell in love with it. And she's like, well, yeah, it is a little bit like that.
Because you investigate that real experience of falling in love with a tree, that real sense of connection.
And it's very emotional.
Yeah.
And for all of us who love trees, it is very emotional.
Yeah.
And the trees teach you. Now, they start teaching you about the location, the land, the waterways, everything, because they're connected to everything. So you've got this amazing sort of guide, you know. And then there's sort of the sad trees, like the separation tree in the Royal Botanic Gardens here, which was there when we separated from New South Wales in the 19th century, and somebody has destroyed that tree. Somebody came along and ringbarked it, you know. This is what the colonialists used to do. They couldn't bother chopping the tree down. They'd ringbark it, so it just died. So you've still got trees are kind of contentious. They're part of our landscape and they're part of our kind of discussion, really, about a whole lot of things, including art, including spirituality, including a lot of things.
Janine Burke is our guest. You've published 20-plus books.
Isn't it insane?
What are you doing? Hello, go and relax under a tree. This one's called My Forest Travels with Trees. Of all the books that you've written, has this one been one of the most impacting for you?
It's been huge. Yes, it's changed how I've looked at the natural world. It's taught me about, you know, the Indigenous background of the place that I live, the land that I live on, you know, is Aboriginal land. And it's just deepened and enriched everything. And I think this is what trees do. They're very generous, you know. It's like they've got big souls, you know. They want to connect with you. And there's an amazing woman called Monica Galliano who's done quite a lot of research with trees, and she felt this too.
Janine Burke, strongly encourage you picking up this book and taking a journey with Janine, a book that you've worked on for 7 years, My Forests Travels with Trees. Thank you so much, Janine, for joining us this afternoon.
On ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria, you're with Jacinta Parsons.